you often find that you need a distraction from everyday life?
Do you like true crime, conspiracy theories, paranormal stories, and other weird, dark tales?
Well, tune in and turn up Weird Distractions Podcast, where we, your hosts, Christy
and Alex,
bring you a weird distraction to help you get through the work week.
Every Sunday morning, you can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Good Pods, and more.
So grab a snack, get comfy,
and make sure to lock those doors.
Need a distraction? We got you.
I'm Paige, and you're listening to Reverie True Crime. Please stay tuned until the end of the episode. I want to thank my patrons after I tell you guys this story and tell you a little about what's going on over on the Patreon. So, today's episode takes place in the early 1980s. A young lady by the name of Kathy Shaw was abducted, held captive for 3 days, repeatedly raped and tortured. She was able to escape her captor. Kathy held her secret inside until 2007. That's when she decided to carry out her case within the districts where the incidents happened. As of now, there has been no real investigation, and no one has been held responsible for the crimes and wrongdoings that were committed against her. Let's get into Kathy's story. It was summertime in 1982. Kathy Shaw was 22 years old, visiting North Carolina with a relative so they could get together with a friend. Kathy was originally from Florida. One evening, she was leaving a tavern and going on a walk when she heard the loud noise of an old truck. The man in the truck rode up beside her, stopped his truck, and rolled down his window. Kathy said when she saw his eyes, fear overcame her. This man was disheveled, drunk, and seemed as if he'd been up all night. She took off running after he asked if she needed a ride, and she told him no. He went after her and drug her by her hair at knife point with his hand over her mouth as he got her into his truck. He locked the passenger side door and his door, then pulled Kathy over close to him, warning her, still at knife point, that she better not talk or scream. She was petrified. He took her to a remote location, and he was just flooring it over these sand dunes. Then they came upon a brick house with a white picket fence in the middle of nowhere. Outside, there were two little boys, possibly around 2 and 4 years old, having popsicles as a summertime treat. There was an abandoned building next door to the house that she described as looking like an old telephone company or some company type of building. The man goes inside, but before doing so, he tells Kathy that if she tries to run, that he will blow her brains out. He comes out of the home with an old bag full of yellow ropes and an anchor. Before she knew it, they were off again, flying over the sand dunes, as he took her off to a rock quarry. He held a gun to her head and told her to count to 3 with him, and when they got to 3, that she, quote, better take your goddamn motherfucking clothes off, end quote. He abused her, raped her, and tortured her, calling her every name in the book, and seemed so angry at someone else, but was taking his anger and frustrations out on her for 3 days and 3 nights. Kathy says she reached the point where she was in shock, frozen, and numb after a while. They were in the truck, and he was hitting the bottle, and he kept dozing off to the point that his head was hitting the steering wheel every time that he nodded off. Finally, he passed out from all of the drinking, and Kathy didn't know if she wanted to attempt to escape in this moment because she was so scared. What if he woke up when she opened the truck door? However, after an hour of debating if she should or shouldn't, she decided she would take the chance. He was in a deep slumber, snoring away, while she counted to three and bolted, running for her life, not knowing which way to go. She ran until she finally saw a little opening that led to a road. She ran down the road until she nearly passed out. She finally saw an SUV coming her way with a couple inside. She was throwing her hands up, yelling, trying to wave them down. Fortunately, they stopped and she got in as fast as she could. As soon as she shut the SUV door, there he was, yelling at her that she better watch out. That would be the last time Kathy ever saw his face again. The couple wanted to take her to the police station or the hospital, but she told them that she would be fine. In her mind, this was all her fault. She started to blame herself for everything that happened. She kept this in for years until she absolutely couldn't take it anymore. Kathy was at the point where she wanted to kill herself. However, in 2007, she was inspired by a Commonwealth attorney by the name of Dennis Lee. She had worked with him in Virginia, saving kids from a pedophile who was a family member of said kids. She decided to open up to Dennis and tell him what happened to her back in the summer of 1982. Dennis told her that it wasn't fair to other women out there that she didn't say something back then and report it. She said it was the first time she really looked at it in that way, so she got the courage to come forward to the Rockingham County Sheriff's Department. Kathy recalls them looking at her like she was nuts. They made her take a polygraph exam, which included questions such as, "Did you have on see-through clothes?" or "Did you provoke it in any way?" At the time, she thought these were just normal questions, but now she realizes they were just trying to blame her for his actions, which made Kathy feel it was her fault, yet again, even though she told them no, she didn't wear see-through clothes. Recently, she even said, "What if I were wearing something like a swimsuit? That's still no reason for someone to do what he did." The police department held on to the information for almost 2 years, and in that time, she maybe got 2 phone calls back about what happened to her. She would call, and they told her that her case was moved to Caswell County Police Department. She said they passed the case back and forth so many times, arguing over whose county the case belonged to. Rockingham County basically said that Caswell County needed to step up and take the case because the rock quarry was in their county, but Caswell County Police Department never would. In Caswell County, when Kathy talked to officers there, she said they were worse than Rockingham County. They were rude, they belittled her, saying she didn't have a case. A detective even asked her if she was a party girl, and the sergeant, who she said was very nice, moved to Rockingham County Police Department, where her case is now in a cold case file. Kathy took matters into her own hands and reached out to a forensic. She got in touch with the same sketch artist who did the sketch and age progression for John Walsh in the case of his son, Adam. This sketch artist did the same for Kathy. She described every detail about the man who kidnapped, raped, and tortured her for days, and he made out the sketch as well as the age progression. Now, she was describing this man to someone else, and they threw out 2 names of people that fit that description. She looked into these 2 men, and she said she is 80% sure that the man is in prison right now, but there's still this chance that she realizes she could be wrong, that he could possibly still be out there somewhere. But with the age progression and by her seeing his mugshot, she's almost sure that is the man that did this to her. I won't be mentioning any names because without solid proof, I can't say that this man who is incarcerated was the man that did this to Kathy. However, I really would like to think that it is, and that this person is still not roaming around somewhere. I think one of the great ways that Kathy got closure was not only writing a book that she's trying to get published, but she also drew a picture of the man who did this to her, and she used it as a dartboard. And I thought that that was a great idea. And she said it was a healing thing for her. Kathy firmly believes the rock quarry needs to be drained. There needs to be a search going on for possible bodies. The police did take her to the rock quarry, but there was no real in-depth investigation that happened. Kathy said that she did get a lot out at the rock quarry, however. They let her spend a little time alone there, and she got out some words that she needed to, and got a little slice of peace from that. They showed a picture of Kathy to the man she believed did this to her, the one in prison. And when he said that he's never seen her, that was the extent of the investigation. Kathy Shaw was one of the lucky ones, and she is very grateful that she's still here today to tell her story. She does battle with depression, PTSD, and is now a very nervous person who doesn't like men. It's definitely impacted her life, but instead of taking tons of medications, she writes, which helps her so much, as well as working at a restaurant. There may have been other women who weren't able to get away. Also, there are a lot of missing women in that area. I'll be posting a picture of all of the missing women from that area, and if you know anything, absolutely anything, please call the Rockingham County Police Department as well as the Caswell County Police Department. They're both in North Carolina, and just let them know. I'd also like for us to try to come together to get Kathy's case reopened, maybe by doing the change.org petitions, something like that. I'll definitely let you all know where we go from there. And if there's any updates from Kathy and about her case, I'll let you know that too. My heart and my prayers go out to Kathy Shaw. I hope that one day you get justice, as well as anyone else that's been hurt or worse by this man. Thank you so much for listening to Kathy's story. Before I head out, I do want to say thank you so much to Denise, Lorraine, Emily, Haley, and Melissa for supporting me on patreon.com/reverietruecrime. You can join us over there for $3 a month. If you sign up before November or December, I'll be pausing payments for those months for the holidays. If you do sign up in November, Patreon will still charge you the $3, but your December payment, I'll be able to pause that, and you won't have to pay anything for December. There's Patreon exclusives in the works, tons of ad-free episodes, and I try to put them out a week or two before they're available on the podcast. There's polls that you can vote on for Patreon exclusive episodes. There's some extra content over there if you'd like to support in that way. And if not, hey, I love each and every single one of you that listens, which is also showing your love and support in a huge way. Twitter has definitely been super great to me, and we're all like a little weird family over there, and I appreciate everyone on all of the platforms that share my posts, give likes, you know, the retweets, and recommending my podcast to others. All of the podcasters and listeners that I've talked to and gotten to know, every single one of you are all around just extremely supportive and awesome people. All the places that you can hang out with me on social media will be in the show notes. So, yeah, thanks, guys. And until next time, you know the drill, people. Stay safe and stay healthy out there.